What is up, family? Welcome to Speak. I really cannot wait for this show. It's a jam-packed desk. It is a jam-packed show. The end of eras, the beginning of playoff runs. All we will talk about today, far end, that is James Jones. James, how you feeling, big dog?
Man, I feel good, my brother. What's going on?
I feel great. I feel great. George Taylor, how are we?
Well, I'm a little sad today.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little sad.
Yeah, he's sad up there, too.
Things come to him, man.
You got Dave Hellman, the Joy's right. That is NFL Insider. And then you also have Slick Rick the Bucher, one of the smartest minds in all of basketball. Well, speaking of basketball, let's talk about it. We are witnessing the end of an era. At least we should be. Why do I think so? Because if we all watched the game yesterday, as I watched the game, you saw something that you couldn't miss even if you tried. Family, Klay Thompson's atrocious performance. Now, the big three, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. But how long can it last when you're looking at numbers like this? Last night, Klay was 0 of 10, but his last four playoff games or play-in games included 3 of 19, 3 of 12, 3 of 11. I'm wondering, and I got to head to the desk to ask the family this one. Slick, this is fascinating because I don't want anybody to miss, you at home, how big a deal the conversation we're about to have is. Usually you know when a dynasty's over.
Yeah.
When we saw the Magic in the 90s lose to the Bulls, okay, it's done. We knew the Lakers were going to end with Kobe and Shaq. They had talked about it. They lost to the Pistons. Okay, it's done. You knew the Spurs were going to end to some degree because the Golden State Warriors were going to take the mantle. Okay, they're done. Mm-hmm. The Miami Heat that Joy Taylor got to witness firsthand, you knew they were going to end because the Spurs broke it up. Okay, it's done. But this big three is interesting. Because they're not losing in the NBA Finals like the Lakers did, or like the Lakers did, or like the Spurs did, or like the Heat did.
Yeah.
They're losing in a play-in game. Mm. So we're not really realizing just how big a deal the conversation we are about to have is. This is huge. Probably a top five dynasty in the history of the game of basketball. And it could be, it should be, in my mind, over. But Slick, you know basketball better than anybody on national television. Is it time for the Warriors to break up the big three?
No, it's time to reset the expectation that they're going to continue to play for championships. Look, they're in a difficult spot where to break it up and the idea that you're going to break it up and then you're going to continue to play for championships just isn't realistic under the current dynamics of the NBA. So it's a matter of, do you maintain the big three and do you try to cobble and put pieces around them? And I would push back a little bit. I think we saw the same thing with San Antonio toward their end. They kept the big three together. They weren't winning championships or even contending for championships right to the end. They were still winning a lot of regular season games, but they weren't making deep runs, and we didn't look at them as threats. Or maybe we talked about them in threats, and then, whoa, they got knocked out in the first round, or they got knocked out in the second round. So if I saw a path to which you could take some of these pieces and move them and reconstitute the Warriors, and then they would be playing for championships again, then I would say, yes, by all means, break it up, keep it going forward. But I don't see a path to that. So your choice is, we're either going to just tear it all the way down, which means not just moving, because I think what we're talking about is like moving Draymond Green, not bringing back Klay Thompson. Like, you can't replace them with better pieces. The only way you do that is if you move Steph Curry as well.
So Slick, really quick. You saying don't break it up and play for fun?
That's what it sounded like.
I am saying, yes, I'm saying enjoy enjoy these three still being together.
Okay.
Enjoy the fact that they are still going to be competitive. Mm-hmm. They can still, look, what we're forgetting, I think, what we're jumping over is how messed up the word that Steph Curry used with me when we met in Portland was how random this season was. You had Draymond Green getting suspended for a dozen games. You had Klay Thompson have to make the adjustment of going to the bench. You had Chris Paul, an arch enemy, being introduced into the team and finding a way to incorporate him. You had an assistant coach have a fatal heart attack a day after Draymond Green came back into the team. Steph Curry had to deal with an ankle injury. Like, you had so many things happen with this team that kicked it sideways. The idea that this is what they now are, that they're a 10th seed, I think is not giving all that they went through this season enough credit.
Joy, where do you stand on the matter? It's a huge, 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 huge deal, huge conversation. Mm. A big answer awaits us. Is it time to break up the big three?
I had a
different one answer before Rick laid all that out.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I'm like thinking back to dynasties and how they fall apart and what they look like and what organizations owe players like this. And nothing lasts forever. And we very often see players on different teams than their dynasties, the dynasty that they were a part of.
Yep.
I can't see a world where Steph Curry is playing for a different team.
Agreed. I don't like that world.
But then I can't see the Warriors with just Steph Curry. So
Steph Curry can't see that.
I agree. So I'm sort of in the middle of it where I don't necessarily think that they need to blow it up or break apart the big three and send Klay somewhere and send Draymond somewhere and try and find a new way to put together a championship-winning team around Steph Curry. The more I say that, the less it makes sense. Mm. So I do think that they need to retool. They need to take a deep look at the roster, at the role players, at what their future looks like. What are the options here? Who do we need to bring back? Who do we need to go out and look for? Is there another move out there on the market that we could potentially be in play for? And I don't like the idea of playing for fun, but I also think that expectations need to be realistic. And we often do this. We do this a lot with a lot of great players, where just because they were once at some point where every single year we expected them to be in the final. Okay, who are the Warriors playing this year?
Yeah.
But we also have brains that can process that time is a real thing and that no dynasties last forever. So we don't have the expectation of them competing for a championship every single year. We just don't. We don't. We actually do not.
So then what is it? I'm confused. I'm confused. And the only reason I'm confused is because I'm curious. It's like, well, what are y'all saying? Because
it's over.
We're saying.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that you two are greedy. That's what I'm saying.
That's fair. But I let me elaborate on my confusion in case y'all at home too are confused. Because it sounds like we don't want the Warriors to be playing for fun, but I feel as though the advice that you all are lending is very much so a, hey, play for fun, lower the expectations. Y'all aren't going to be able to compete, but don't break up the big three because
I don't think that it's not that they won't be able to compete, but competing for a championship and competing are two different things.
Yep.
And we hold lots of teams to very, very much lower standards than we hold Steph Curry and the Warriors to all the time. We think it's nice that this team has this run, that this team has won a couple playoff series. And we really never move them into, well, they should be competing for a championship now. So we have the capacity to have realistic expectations for organizations all the time.
Not for people that accomplish what they have accomplished, though. That's my only thing. If this is Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat, sure. These dudes have won four of these things. And right. Now we saying just four of these things, let's go back to being regular. And let's get back into the play-in game. This has been 3 out of 5 seasons they have missed the playoffs. Did we watch that game last night?
We did.
Yeah.
Because them young boys was 1,000 steps faster than the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
I'm watching the game like, I was on TV yesterday and I said, no, Slick, do not blow this thing up.
Yeah.
When I watched that basketball game yesterday, the Warriors cannot compete with them three on the court. Them young fellas was a step ahead of them. Ripping Steph, Klay couldn't get open. He trying to come up. It was just pure dominance without two of the Kings' best players, and you almost got routed by 20-plus in a must-win game. Mm. So for me, they have 4 championships together. Mm-hmm. There is no plan for fun. Every time the Golden State Warriors put their jersey on and the season starts, it's about winning a championship. How can we get that done? With this big three that they have had with a lot of success, it is not going to happen. What can we do to be able to help Steph Curry? Because he's one of the few ones on that team still playing at a high level, even though he's up there in age. But how can we help him and put together a team to help them win a championship?
If Steph was all that, then why wasn't Steph all that last night?
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Yeah. I mean, his other friends play worse than him.
And by the way, you're the one who said that they're playing for fun. I think they're playing for a little bit more than that. We get to see them, see how good they can be as they shut this down, as they go forward. And it is a matter of,
we're just translating, in my mind, we are translating into athlete speech what we're hearing from you.
Yeah.
You did not say the Warriors are playing for fun. I would never say that. If y'all are just now tuning in, you didn't say that. But to say that, like, the Warriors should lower their expectations and the expectations should no longer be competing for championships, I interpret that as, oh, so I'm just out here running and jumping.
Yeah, no.
That's how I interpret
it. The Warriors should not.
But that's what it is.
We all should. Like, there's an expectation now that they're supposed to play for championships every year. What? How do we put that? Do we put that expectation on any other franchise?
At least be in the playoffs to have a chance.
But like time and wear and tear and role players' performance and all of the other factors that happened this year also matter.
They do.
Like, what happens several years ago is important.
So when you change
it, happening now also matters.
So that's what I suggest, though. If time matters, then let's change time because the players are old.
Changing time to who? So you're saying just get rid of Clay, get rid of Draymond, and then build a championship team around Steph Curry?
I agree with what Charles Barkley said yesterday on the broadcast. He was like, Clay can get paid less, but he ain't going to get better.
Right.
So that's my dilemma. Like, and let me try to speak of it like this. I hold greats to great standards. And I believe that the Warriors have a top five dynasty in the history of basketball, behind probably the 80s Lakers, the 90s Bulls, the Spurs from 2000 to 2014. You can say the early Lakers as well. You want to bring up the Heat or whatever you think. And I'm sure I've missed several, maybe the Celtics in there as well. But I believe that the Warriors have a top five dynasty. Whenever those three plus their coach step on the court, I expect greatness. Whenever Tom Brady and Bill Belichick stepped on a football field, I didn't care about the age.
Yeah.
I've seen them do great things. Whenever Pop and Duncan was on that basketball court, I've seen great things. I never, ever, ever thought I would see Tony Parker in another uniform. I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan. Tony Parker ended so many dreams and hopes of mine. But then I was like, wait, is he playing for Charlotte?
Yeah.
Is that Tony Parker? So it could happen for Clay.
You know, what we're talking about is we're really talking about the horse is already out of the barn. And because they had a chance to reset this on the fly. They had the number one pick for James Wiseman. That didn't work. You had two other lottery picks in Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody. Those guys have not become the players that you would hope you would get. They had the opportunity to hit the reset button, whichever way you did it, whether you took those picks and you traded or you drafted more wisely or whatever you did, the opportunity to hit the reset and push and extend the dynasty, that opportunity was already there and wasted. So the idea that you're going to do it now by moving, I mean, we're not the only ones who watched last night.
Of course.
The rest of the league saw Klay Thompson last night. The rest of the league saw Draymond Green get three rebounds in 35 minutes.
I got a question for the left side of the table based on what you're saying. I'll start with you, James, and Joy, very interested in you rolling after that. Is there, though, a little bit of dissension because of the old guard, new guard? I remember talking to the camp of Kuminga, if you will. And the Warriors got the young cats and they got the old heads. Mm-hmm. And the old heads can never really materialize. The young cats can never really materialize so long as the old heads are there. Reason I want to go left side of the table, James Jones, I very much so think about the Packers. Mm. Packers young wide receiver core.
Yeah, we
this good. Year they did their thing.
Yes, they did.
But when Aaron Rodgers was there, there was tension. Because you had old head Aaron Rodgers, old head Bakhtiari, old head Randall Cobb. The young boys can't really be young boys. Yeah. But then Jordan Love came in and all the young boys got to do their thing together. Did the Packers win a championship this year? No, they did not. But did they have a great year, upset the Cowboys, and do they look like they're on the brink of the horizon? Absolutely. If you would have asked a Packers fan, is it ludicrous to get rid of Aaron Rodgers, maybe the greatest Green Bay Packer in the history of the organization? They would say yes. But to me, James and Joy, there's something about let all of the new blood and Steph, because Steph just is he's a deity. Let all of the new blood and Steph grow together.
I agree, because you're trying to win championships. So however you got to rotate pieces, whatever you have to do, you're trying to win championships. It ain't no play for fun. When I was with the Green Bay Packers, no shot at my Raiders. When I was with the Green Bay Packers from 2007, to 2013, every single year, roster-wise and everything, we had a chance to go win a Super Bowl. That's what you've seen. That's what you felt in that locker room. First it was Brett, then it was Aaron. You had a chance. Then I went to the Raiders, and I said, Lord Jesus, this roster we have, we not winning nothing. And I was out there trying to do my best. I always felt if I got the ball, we would win. But at the same time, I'm like, team-wise, we not built to win no championship. Just don't get hurt, JJ.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't get hurt. Mm. You know, see next year. So for me, it ain't no fun in that. There is no fun in just, hey, we out here, put your jersey on, let's go out here and hope and wish. Ain't no fun in that. These dudes have won championships. It's about winning championships. So you gotta blow this thing up and try to regroup and go win another championship.
But to Slick's point, what are you getting for Klay and Draymond? Like, if you're talking about building a championship team around Steph Curry, you need to be able to have the pieces and assets that are able
to do that. So maybe it's them young picks. Maybe it's the Kamingas and all that you deal and try to go get you a big-time number two player with Steph Curry.
Yeah, but that's not blowing up the three. And here's the thing.
Well, Steph ain't going nowhere. When I say blow up, I mean the big three.
Understood. But you said you went to the Raiders and you saw, I can't win with this.
Championship.
Yeah. Steph, Klay, and Dre still believe this year, in spite of everything that happened, you know what? We can still get it done. Now, you can question whether they're in their right mind or whether they're being sentimental or whatever it might be, but it's not like Steph or any of those guys are looking around and going, we can't get it done.
Question for you. I don't know if I believe that. Now, you know Steph Curry. I know Steph Curry not in socially. We've exchanged conversation. I don't know if I believe that because I don't know if Steph can go back and watch the tape.
Yeah.
I don't know if Steph can be like, Klay went 0 for 10. Then he went 3 for 19. Mm-hmm. Then he went 3 for 12. Then he went 3 for 11. In the last four playoff and play-in mm-hmm. games. Mm-hmm. As Steph loves Klay. And love isn't just like blinding. It's deceiving.
Yeah.
So he ain't gonna say it, but I just don't know if I believe you. I think Steph knows I cannot win like this.
No.
I think he knows. He can't say it, and I don't think he'll ever say it. And maybe it's head knowledge and not yet heart knowledge, but I don't think Steph truly believes he can win like this.
I think what changed it was the way they won the 21-22 championship. Because the Warriors had fallen off a cliff. It mm-hmm. was the dynasty was supposed to be over and was over for 2 years. And they weren't the favorite. They weren't the favorite going into the 21-22 postseason. And then they win a ring.
Yeah,
and so
also
when you do...
They could get a bucket, too.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying, look at the pieces that came. Andrew Wiggins had never won anything.
Yeah. Jordan Poole
had never won anything.
It was very surprising,
The idea that, hey, our culture, if we bring the right guys into our culture... We can be champions.
That is true.
The fact that they believe that, I understand why they do, because they just did it 2 years ago where you're looking at it and going, they brought guys in who weren't champions, who suddenly became champions. Maybe if we can just get the right one or two more guys and we don't have all of the chaos and issues and tragedy that we had this season, maybe there's one more there for us.
Well said. Well, speaking of believing they can be champions, how about the Dallas Cowboys? The owners and the Jones family have spoken. If anybody believes they can be a champion, it's them, Slick. They have spoken, and they say they have a brilliant plan for the offseason, a plan that could get them and should get them to the Super Bowl. But do we trust that plan, bringing in somebody who knows more about the Cowboys than anybody on TV next? That's Peak. Remember, join us every day. Fox Sports Channel, Sirius. XM. What's up, family? My favorite conversations on television are typically with this man, Dave Hellman. He knows everything you need to know about what I am about to talk about shortly. The Dallas Cowboys offseason approach. The ownership has spoken. The Jones family, they simply said, we max out our salary cap every year. But when you're wanting to sign players like Dak, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, then certainly you got to hold on to money if you want realistic chances of signing those guys. The biggest issue you at home need to know about, turn your volume up, relax into your chairs a little bit, is this. Cowboys have not made a splash offseason signing. It has come with a lot of criticism. I will let Dave Hellman, who has covered the Cowboys for 15 years, set the table, and then I will throw everything off the table. Dave.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
You trust the Cowboys plan. Do you trust the Jones family?
No. And respectfully, earnestly, no snark at all intended. What plan? What is the plan exactly? Because it's not just that they're not doing anything right now. If you follow the Cowboys, you should be used to that. They're not big spenders in free agency, and they've built some really good teams doing it. The quote that was just on the board is what drives me crazy, which is to say, we need to pay those guys, so we got to hold some money back. Cowboys. Why aren't they paid already? Why are these guys all heading, not Micah, but why are CD and Dak heading for contract years? Why aren't these things taken care of ahead of time? A plan would be to say, we got to figure out what to do about Dak Prescott, and not, as we talked about earlier this week on the show, we'll just see how it goes. How about the fact that CD Lamb has been an all-pro for 2 years at this point and is currently costing the Cowboys $17 million against the cap? He could have been signed all the way back in 2023, and the Cowboys might have some money, because the thing they don't want to talk about is when you sign a guy, yeah, it's expensive. It also gives you years that you can play with and move that money around and free up cap space. But when you don't do it, then you wind up with your back against the wall, and that is what drives me and Cowboys Nation crazy.
Let me drive you crazier, Dave. I think that you're not wrong. I just think you're a little misguided. Inaction is also action in life. We always feel like we got to be sprinting and running and doing all these things, but sometimes resting is also positive.
Rich coming from you, just for that
word. Inaction is action. The Dallas Cowboys, this year, their ideology is very simple. We're not going to chase Tyler Biotis. Show. If you want them, Commanders, you got them. Their ideology is simple. We're not going to commit to Dak Prescott for another 4 years, because committing to him for the last 4 years got us nothing greater than the first 4 years. So their ideology is simple. We don't need that much. We did not lose to the Packers in the playoffs because of talent. We lost to the Packers in the playoffs in large part because of coaching and because of execution. Last year, they did everything. Action, action, action. Sign Stephon Gilmore, although you have Stephon Diggs and Deron Bland. Action. Sign Brandon Cooks because you need another number two. Action. You franchise tag Tony Pollard because everybody said commit to him, and it got them nowhere. So, Dave, I personally have no issue with the Cowboys' plan. In my mind, their plan is this. We have what we need. If we don't have it, we'll get it in the draft. And we've developed offensive linemen. We've proven to do that for the last decade plus. In action, two is action. Don't be bothered by a lack of busyness.
Let's, you and me, take our conversation from the off the air onto TV. In a vacuum, that's totally fine. And you're right. If there's one spot the Cowboys have earned the benefit of the doubt, offensive line is a great example. People got so mad when they drafted Tyler Smith. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's not ready. He holds too much.
Look at him now.
Amazing player.
Yep.
That's cool. If you want to save that for the draft, that's fine. You need a center. You need another starter, because Tyler's either going to play tackle,
yes,
or guard. You need two starters there. Cool. If that was the only problem, I'd be right there with you, man. Problem is, you let Tony Pollard walk too. Also fine in a vacuum.
Of
you don't
course.
Want to pay Tony Pollard that much money.
You shouldn't
but
have.
Now we're talking three starters. You want to cut Michael Gallup because he's not worth the contract. In a vacuum, fine. Now we're talking four potential starters. Jonathan Hankins off to Seattle. Minimum salary defensive tackle in a vacuum. Not a big deal. Now we're up to five, six, seven. In a vacuum, none of these things are a big deal. And then all of a sudden you look at it and you say, Cowboys, you about to find five starters, two Pro Bowlers in one draft class? Have fun, guys. It's not realistic, man. Mm. It's just not.
Very well said. Well, let's get some more opinions on this conversation as we head back to the desk. Joy Taylor, your mom more than you, very publicly, as you state on television, are Cowboys fans. Your mom, I think, right?
I am not a Cowboys fan. I don't think
your
the
mama,
Cowboys
right?
fans would appreciate you, like, want to go back.
No, I didn't say you. I didn't say you.
No, my mom is a diehard Cowboys fan.
That's what it is. I'm like, they either love them or hate them. I forget.
No. She loves the Cowboys.
Okay,
but she is actually a very rational and reasonable Cowboys fan, which makes me have hope that there are a few out there.
There's a few of us out there. There's a few.
Us.
Look, y'all won't let me get away from this theme. So I gotta embrace it.
I gotta lean into it.
Joy, do you trust what the Cowboys are leaning into? Do you trust the plan?
No. And there's no reason anybody should. It's the same thing over and over again. It's a lot of propaganda, if we're being honest.
Tell them, Joy. Go ahead.
That's what is the plan?
We just discussed it.
And, but like,
did we come up with an answer?
What is the plan? Like, today's point, what's the plan? Like, you have your top player, your all-pro quarterback, playing on a proven deal. Your coach, you haven't secured CeeDee Lamb, which you could have done. They're never ahead of it when it comes to the money. That's why they're in this situation with Dak to begin with, because they were just so smart. They had to pay Zeke Elliott, which they absolutely did not have to do. They cave every single time with stuff like that. That's why they're in the situation with Dak Prescott to begin with, because they paid their quarterback after the running back. That's how we got here today.
But at the time, like, this is why I trust the plan. That's why I trust the plan. Mm. Because even at the time, Zeke was a top two player at his position in football.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott was not near that.
Yeah.
Zeke was a dog. Now, first round pick, pick up a 5th-year option, but like, even paying Zeke before you pay Dak, I had no issue. I had
lots
no
of issues
issue.
With it. Lots of issues with it.
And it's most expensive position, most important position in the sport.
Like, they could have given, because of that, they could have given Dak a very team-friendly deal. And because Dak was a fourth-round draft pick, he likely would have taken that deal. And,
is there a difference in outcome? You feel me? Like,
yeah, that's... Okay, well then, all right, fine. I can get... let's say that they had to do that. Well, I don't feel bad that they're in this situation right now. And then, this is what... Well, you do business that way, against the way that everybody else does it, and you wind up in this situation, and now you have your quarterback playing it out. He's going to make a ton of money, whether it is with you or with another team, because he just came off of an all-pro season and is in no way declining. He's a young player who wins the division, wins playoff games, is in the playoffs every single year, is perfectly capable of putting up big numbers and winning big games and winning from behind. Whatever way you want it, he just doesn't get past to... He's never been to the NFC Championship game.
But that's why I love the plan. What is the plan? I don't know what is the plan, but the plan is...
You just feel good about it, though?
Since Coach Mike got there, season after season after season, we have 12 wins. There's only one team in the NFL that has done that, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones and his son and whoever else is helping up there with the roster put together a roster every single year to go compete for a championship. You know what happens? You get in the playoffs. Jerry Jones ain't laying no egg. Mm. It's them players out there laying the egg, not getting the job done. But when you tell me you have a roster of 9 All-Pros on your team, that's well done by management. Did the players deliver on the football field against the Green Bay Packers? No. But by Jerry and management and scouts and all that, that's a pretty doggone good job. And they have had a really good roster the last 5 years with the Dallas Cowboys and have not got the job done.
But then I got to play the shady role.
Uh-oh.
Oh, good luck.
Then who?
Why don't they win then? How much better could the roster be?
So here's my question for you, Joy and Dave.
How much better? What's the problem?
No, here's my question for both of y'all. This is why I think it's unfair for you all to not trust a plan. Joy, I know Ferris for Ferris wheels and some other things. And Oreos. But the Texas State Fair is for a lot more than just that, for context.
Texas State Fair is fun.
How can we say that the Cowboys should have paid Dak first 4 years ago, and that didn't work out? And now we have issue with the fact that they're not paying him. Pick one. Because if you wanted them to pay him first 4 years ago and we saw it didn't work, well, now they're doing the opposite. That's where I'm at, Dave. If you try option A and option A didn't work and I criticize you for A, I can't criticize you for B, too. They tried paying them later, and now they're like, you know what? Go ahead, Dak. We're just going to let you play it out. Because when they did it last time, it did not work. You can't criticize them both ways.
The key to handling financial things in the NFL is just to stay out in front of it. My dumbass gets on here on TV. Remember the last play of the Niners game in the playoffs when they had Zeke blocking a guy?
Yeah, remember that?
My dumbass got on TV and said, you should extend Dak right now. I know what just happened, but you should extend him because this day is coming. You need to do it right now. I don't care that you lost to the Niners.
But you're tethered to him. That's the problem. Then you're tethered to him.
Is it easier to be tethered to him when you pay him $50 million, $48 million, and then have those extra years? Or is it easier next year when he balls out again and now the price tag is 60? You see the problem here?
Cowboys, somebody else's price tag.
Cowboys fans,
to me about that.
Cowboys fans get so mad at me, and I apologize to y'all right now because I'm going to bring them up. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Sure.
What are they doing? The minute Jalen Hurts showed that he even could be that guy, and we still have some questions about Jalen, right? We're not sold that he's the best in the league.
No doubt.
The minute he showed it, they extended him. They're like, here, take your money, Jalen. Devontae Smith, what just happened to him? He got $25 million a year, 2 years ahead of time. Because why? Because Howie Roseman said, if this guy goes and balls again, he's going to want 30.
You shouldn't have done this, Dave. You shouldn't have done this.
I'm happy to do it.
You're talking about teams I know too much about,
Dude,
coach.
Please tell me.
Our guy Hargrave, he had 10 sacks,
yeah.
10 of them.
Sure.
Let him walk out the door. Hassan Reddick, he's had 10 sacks for 4 consecutive years on different teams. The only other player to do that is Myles Garrett, 4 straight years with 10 different sacks. Let him walk up out the door. The right guard, when they won,
I can do this with you all.
Let him go to the Steelers. Let him walk up out the door. Zach Ertz likely should have been like a fringe Hall of Famer. He wanted more bread. They let him walk up out the door. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson led the league in picks through the first 10 weeks. They let him walk up out the door. You got something. No. All I'm saying is other teams let greats walk up out the door, too, because you have to at times. Eagles do replace them. I'll give you that. They replace them. But the Cowboys have done it thus far, too. They let Zeke walk about the door. They tagged Pollard. They let they didn't let Frederick walk about the door. Travis Frederick had illnesses. But then Tyler Biadasz, four-year starter, right up after that. They let cats walk about the door, and they replace them.
You don't see the difference between that and signing Bryce Huff to replace a Hassan Reddick for $51 million? Why did the Eagles let Javon Hargrave walk out the door? Because Howie Roseman negotiated a trade that gave him two first-round picks so he could draft Jalen Carter in the top 10, even as a Super Bowl team. The Eagles had a top 10 pick after losing the Super Bowl. There's levels to this, and the Cowboys aren't on that level. They haven't shown that they are in literal decades. It hurts me to say it. Like, I don't say it to rub it in anybody's face. The Cowboys are keeping company with Washington in terms of teams that haven't been to the NFC Championship game.
Okay.
You immediately go, okay.
But that's why I'm saying I don't trust the plan, because it's like, what is the plan, first of all?
It's hard to win, James.
They make it harder on themselves to win.
Okay, then what's the problem?
The problem is the players not delivering when the players got to deliver.
What's the problem? How much better can you be?
I gotta say something here.
All I'm saying.
We gotta stop saying nine all pros,
because
they let two of them leave this year. Tyron Smith's not there. Stephon Gilmore's not there.
But here's why I'm mad at you, Dave.
Here's why I'm mad.
We
did that.
Because we did the same got dog thing. Again, not to bring up these Eagles. Miles Sanders rushed for 1,300, and they said, we going to see.
It's very unfair. It is insane for us to compare the Eagles to the Cowboys. The Eagles have been to and won a Super Bowl as of late
To me, the only difference roster-wise, it's not unfair.
I'm not comparing a team that most recently won a Super Bowl and went back to another Super Bowl to a team who hasn't been to an NFC Championship game in 30 years. That's what I'm not comparing.
But hold on, James. But then you can't compare the Cowboys to nobody.
I don't like to compare the Cowboys to teams that are going to the Super Bowl.
But we're talking about rosters, because the Joneses' only responsibility as general manager is roster. I will compare the Dallas Cowboys roster to anybody.
If you don't want to compare them to the Niners, bet. What do we got, James?
As much as we want to sit here and we want to blame Jerry and we want to blame the coaches and all that, right? Like I said before, I was in Green Bay from 2007 to 2000, Aaron left. 2024. Every year, the roster was a really good roster, and you had a chance to win a championship. He won one. We did not deliver when we had to deliver. I'm walking out of playoff games like we 1,000 times better than this team we just lost to. Coach Mike ain't have nothing to do with that. We did not deliver as players. Trust the Cowboys' plan. That's Jerry and those boys up top. They have put together a top five roster for you the last 5 years. 10 years, whatever you want to do.
The Cowboys
have not delivered in the biggest moment. Do I have an answer for that? No. But plan-wise for roster, they have put together a dominant roster.
Let me get him. If you ask me, I'm going to trust the plan. Dave, go back a decade. Not even the last five. Go back a decade, bro.
Yeah.
Y'all realize the Cowboys rolled a roster out there with Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley, and 1,800-yard rusher DeMarco Murray. The Cowboys stay doing this. They squads are nice. Antonio Romo was a quarterback. That was 10 years ago.
Okay.
Cut to 5 years ago. Then you roll out a roster with Dak Prescott, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams, Jason Witten still, Ezekiel Elliott. Now cut to last year. Then you roll out a roster with CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Jake Ferguson, Tony Pollard coming off another 1,000-yard season, Zach Martin, Kyler Smith, Tyron Smith. Bro, you can't talk to me about their plan. They rosters is crazy every single year. Crazy.
Do they have to show for it?
Not enough.
Not only what do they have to show for it?
That's that part, Joy. That's all I'm saying.
Who's to blame then? Because if it's not the roster's construction, it's not how they don't get aggressive in the offseason. It's not how they never draft a quarterback high. It's not the coaching. Okay. It's not how the only owner in the entire league speaking to the media after every single game. It's none of that. It's none of the consistent things that they do every single year. Yeah. And it's not the roster, because the roster is great. What is the answer to that? What's the answer to that number?
No, I'll be honest. I'm with Shady on this one, man. Like, to me, it's got to be the quarterback. Now, Joy's right, though. She said it's not about drafting the quarterbacks high. I think it is. The Cowboys have had really good quarterback play. Romo took over in 07? I think 07?
06 season.
Yeah. Bet. Yeah. So they've had really good quarterback play for 17 years. But they haven't had elite quarterback play. Romo was never top three.
No.
He was good. He was good. He was good. I love Tony Romo. Tony Romo was crazy. But he wasn't top three. He was all pro once, I believe, in 2014. Dak Prescott's never been top three. Yes, he was on all pro this year, but I'm talking about, let's use common sense, people. I do think it is a quarterback issue. Dak is really good. Romo's really good.
Let me make sure I got this right. So the Cowboys have to have the best quarterback in the NFL.
Top three.
Building a team to build. He was second team all pro last year.
That does not, Dave, don't you do this on TV.
That's quite literally what it means. That's quite literally what that means. If you can't get
Dave,
better.
That's lazy.
We did do this last year, though.
How much better?
I don't think that Dak Prescott is the second best quarterback.
Neither do I.
I'm the people that voted for second team.
What Dave is saying,
how much better do you want?
How much better?
Unless Patrick Mahomes himself can, for some reason, go there, what else do you want?
I think
the answer lies in the people that are tasked with building the team.
Dave is lying.
On top of that,
he's lying to you.
It's all about playing your best, Dave, when your best is needed. That's what it's about.
Can we agree that last year's Cowboys team massively disappointed?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And the people that are tasked with building that roster.
Hold on. Who disappointed?
Does it matter?
No, hold on. Who disappointed? Who?
All of them.
Who I mean, mainly disappointed?
Dak and the defense.
Thank you. And I don't even go defense. I'm going to put names to it. I ain't got to hide. I'll go Gilmore. He disappointed in the game. I think Bland. He disappointed in the game. Micah, if you're that good, I need to get a couple
There's
sacks.
There's not a person on defense that you could say, like, earned their keep.
So what I'm saying is, like, so how you going to blame Steven or Jerry, bro?
Because
how you going to blame them, bro?
Here's
That's
how.
That's all I'm saying, bro.
Because that team fell 3 wins short of a Super Bowl. And they haven't done anything to make it better. Are the Cowboys objectively worse right now than they were at the end of that season?
Names and talent, of course. Yes, sir.
That's a nice way of saying yes. Like, I mean, they just straight up haven't filled like 5 holes on that roster. And they seem okay with that. Like you look at it and you say, this was not good enough. And we haven't done anything to amend that fact.
Bro, they weren't getting better. That's what I'm trying to sit here and tell you, big dog. You can't, that roster from last year, you're not improving. Your best cornerback was hurt. You had a 10-pick cornerback who did not play, and you still had a cornerback lead the league in picks. You had Diggs.
You are a linebacker. You don't think they can be better at certain spots on their team?
They started the season. Remember, they drafted Overshown in the 3rd round, and you started with LVE. LVE had a neck injury. He's done for the year, and Overshown had a knee injury. But, like, they started the season as good as
you. Very simple.
It doesn't feel simple at all to me.
You think that this is not in any way – the Cowboys brass is responsibility or fault?
No, I think it's their fault. Not roster-wise. I think it's their fault.
Who's fault?
I think it's Jerry's fault. But not the plan of the roster. Not the plan of the
we
roster,
We get this
Joy.
Deep into the
not
segment,
the
and
roster.
It's Jerry's fault?
Jerry's fault. Jerry don't make no tackles, catch no passes, do nothing. He puts the people out there to do that. You're all pro players. Did not play like all pro players in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes was not an all pro player all year, but when the playoffs came, Travis Kelce, all them boys played like all pro players.
I'm just confused.
The Cowboys.
They have 4 playoff wins over the last 27 seasons, right?
Yes.
30. We're just going to round it up.
they haven't been to the NFC Championship game in almost 30 years. Okay. Dak Prescott. Not great at math, although I'm using some numbers now. Has not played for 30 years.
Hey, give him 33%. 33% of it.
Did not play.
And give Romo another. Give him another 33% of that joint.
Great.
So we need to figure out who's responsible for that last
33. Who's responsible for the other part? And who's responsible for those two?
Those two problems too,
errors. Because defense too. I'm saying like if the same thing keeps happening over and over again, I'm a consistency girl. You just keep doing the same thing and telling me that you're different. You're doing the same thing. You lying to my face. You playing in my face. You know, I feel about people that play in my face, Dave. Yes. I don't like it.
And I would
that
never.
That playing in everybody's face, bro.
It's just so much.
How does this wind up?
Roster.
James, what I'm trying to tell you is that there's
gotta
not.
Go to break, Dave.
Like, it's a good roster. I could do this
now
all day.
Now it's good. Last year, it was crazy.
I can do this
you
all
don't
day.
Need them notes in a second, Dave. Hey, when we return, the Warriors caught an L, which means Steph Curry is missing the playoffs for 3 of the last 5 years. But family, are we letting Steph off the hook? Please come back for this conversation. You cannot get the praise of one of the greatest players ever and not get the criticism. We got to talk. That's next. Family, let me take you back to the summer of 2022. Look at the headlines behind me talking about Steph Curry. Is he better than LeBron James? Is he on par with LeBron James? Is he the greatest point guard of all time? These were the headlines, but y'all realize Steph Curry has missed the playoffs 3 of the last 5 years. Even former NBA exec Bobby Marks, he simply said, I actually think Steph Curry is the second best player of all time, right behind Michael Jordan. It would be remiss of me to not keep it real with y'all. It's facts over feelings. I love Steph Curry. I hope he does not unfollow me on social media for this take. But Slick, we got to be critical. We cannot praise Steph Curry as an all-time great, but then criticism like he is a two-way player. And that's what I believe we do in sports. You can't miss the playoffs 3 of the last 5 years and we not talk about it. And we start talking about, we start showing Klay's stats. We start showing Draymond's stats. Who should be shown? But we talk about all-time greats because they do all-time great things. And it would be dismissive of Steph Curry's greatness to not hold his feet to the fire in this moment and say, hey, why have you missed the playoffs yet again? Do you believe we're letting him off the hook?
No, I believe we're not giving him enough credit for what he has had to navigate over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And let you know what
he's
going
to
make
navigate?
Comparisons.
You have to navigate
James,
a lot.
You brought up
that. Did he have to navigate some things? Did he have to navigate?
You kid, but I'm serious.
Talk to me, Slick. Talk to me.
First of all, let's just look at what, over the last 6 years, LeBron James and Steph Curry have done.
Uh-oh.
All right? Do we have that?
Can we got a full screen? We got a full screen,
show over the last 6 years? Pretty comparable there. As a result of winning yesterday and the Warriors losing, now LeBron James has one more playoff appearance. But other than that, we've got one championship each. Steph has actually been to the finals twice over that period of time and has gone to the playoffs 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, context, Joy, I know you're going to agree with me on this. Context matters.
It matters. It always does.
I do agree with that.
Always.
When we look at all of the things that Steph Curry has had to navigate over these last 6 years. His splash brother, Klay Thompson, suffering not one but 2 debilitating injuries that cost him 2 years. Draymond Green going off the rails as his game has diminished and he's tried to become more of an intimidator, and now he's getting suspended on the regular. You have an assistant coach who has a fatal heart attack, all right? You have a number one pick, James Wiseman, that does not pan out. You have your brother from another punch your protege before the season starts.
That happened.
Ugh. All right?
You preaching, Slick.
What of all that, what was Steph Curry the architect of in all of those events? How was it his hand that caused any of those instances?
Mm.
Compared to Mr. James, who every other year is asking for a new coach, who asked you to trade for Anthony Davis, and then he couldn't stay healthy. And so you ended up with only one championship going to the bubble. He wanted Russ Westbrook, and you traded away all of your young pieces in order to get Russ Westbrook, and then suddenly that didn't work out, and we need to change it again. If LeBron James is not being let off the hook, if LeBron James is getting more criticism for what he has and hasn't done over the last 6 years compared to Steph Curry, it's because he's been the architect of it. As opposed to Steph Curry, on the other hand, has had to battle all of these things coming at him and still try to keep them relevant. So that is why when I look at them having comparable accomplishments and I put Steph Curry in a different category, it's because he's had to compensate for the mistakes and downfalls of others as opposed to making it happen.
You cooked. I respect it.
We'll see y'all after commercial break.
I thought they said we're going to break. My bad. You did cook. I like that right there. You did cook. Joy Taylor, what is your response? What is your thought? Do you believe that we are letting Steph Curry off the hook?
I think with the Draymond stuff, I would have to say yes. Because if you're the leader of the team and LeBron had a personality like Draymond on the team and those things happened to Jordan Poole's situation, we would certainly blame LeBron's leadership for that situation.
She's preaching too now.
Draymond getting suspended, although I in no way think that is Steph Curry's fault. I'm just by comparison, having been doing this for a long time and knowing the conversations that we have about LeBron James, that would be the conversation. So I think that the Draymond situation certainly played a part. I think that, if it was compared to what LeBron James would be criticized for, that would certainly play a role. I think maybe the reason that we hold Steph in sort of a different category from LeBron, because it is just LeBron and there's a big three with Steph. So there is some level of accountability that doesn't just get put at Steph Curry's feet. So I don't disagree with, obviously, there are certain things that are there's completely outside of his control. Klay getting injured, that was not a standard thing, and it was a back-to-back awful injuries.
I didn't even mention Kevin Durant ditching them. Mm. Like, you have to recover from KD coming in and then leaving.
Mm. I got some thoughts. I got some thoughts.
I just want to throw that out. I'm sorry to distract, but I just had to.
Yeah, I don't think Steph Curry deserves to get criticized at the same rate as LeBron. But to say that that none of this falls at all at the feet of Steph Curry, then who would it have to fall to? Because they have underachieved. Mm-hmm. There are reasons why, of course, they were completely out of their control. But I would say that not all of those reasons are outside of their control. And if it was LeBron, I think we would be talking about it differently.
I put it at his feet, James Jones. I put it at his feet for this primary reason. Steph Curry has the power and the authority to do much more than Slick, I believe you're giving him credit for. Because to my knowledge, like, Joy, if LeBron is there, I don't know, one, that Draymond Green is sleeping his teammate Jordan Poole, or at least attempting to edge with LeBron right there. Yeah. I don't know that certain things that Draymond be doing would happen on LeBron's watch. I think LeBron James, as that alpha, dictates a certain culture and a certain environment. And if you don't get on with it, you're going to get gone with it. Whether it's Russ Westbrook, whether it's D. Wade, whether it's J.R. Smith, whether it's Tristan Thompson, whoever the case may be. If you don't get along with the game plan, you're gone. Mm-hmm. So I think Steph Curry, and he's an incredible human being, and it translates to the court, James Jones, I think he enables, or at minimum, he allows a lot of things to happen.
So, but if you've never been that guy, you could blame him? Because I don't think Steph Curry has ever been that guy, that type teammate.
Well said.
You know, so I don't really think we could blame him for something that he's not. LeBron James and Steph Curry, it's kind of tough to compare because we didn't expect none of this from Steph. LeBron James, from when he was in high school, we expected all this, right? The spotlight was on LeBron James. It's different. Like, if LeBron would have missed the playoffs 3 out of the last 5 years, we would have been cooking this man and roasting this man just because the standard and the expectations for LeBron. Is it fair? Absolutely not. But Steph Curry, that bullseye was never put on Steph Curry's back. Steph Curry came in as a young player, drafted in the first round, injuries after injuries, did not play well. The spotlight was not on him like that. Then they came into this big three, and they started winning championships. So I think that's why we don't even compare these two, because of the spotlight that has always been on LeBron James. That has never been on Steph. Has Steph had a Hall of Fame career, one of the best players ever? Absolutely. But the attention that LeBron James got and the attention that Steph Curry got from day one is totally different. And then even from a leader standpoint, I think they're totally different leaders.
I agree with that.
Think LeBron is one of those leaders that would get on his teammates. We see my man Steph Curry about to shed a tear because he has not said nothing, at least publicly he has not said nothing. I don't know what he has said to Draymond Green in the locker room and all that, but publicly we ain't seen him getting Draymond face. We've seen a lot of the other leaders do that, but that's not Steph, so I don't think we could blame him for any of that.
As well said, I disagree, but it's well said.
It feels a bit like it's a lie of omission in a way. Like we didn't say it, so we didn't like technically lie. But LeBron is a naturally polarizing figure. He has been since he's been in high school.
Yeah.
But the rub for me is LeBron dealing with that criticism along with his greatness puts LeBron in a different category for me. That makes sense or not, it just does.
Makes clear sense. Yeah.
So if we're giving Steph a pass, which I don't know if it's a pass or if we're just actually being very practical and honest and realistic and empathetic, I love that. I love that for all of us. I think that's growth.
But let's give it to everybody.
But we're not going to do that for everybody.
That part.
And I guess that's what kind of makes me uncomfortable with it, because I know LeBron wouldn't get this treatment. I don't even need to need to get into my Sheen to go to the other timeline to check it out. I know that's what would happen. And so because of that, I do hold LeBron in a different category, because that type of criticism and pressure is a factor in what you have to overcome to have success
at the
highest level.
And I think that's exactly why we don't talk about Steph like that, because LeBron is in a whole different category over here, and Steph is down there.
Then you must keep it like that. Well, speaking of LeBron, we will talk about him, because the Lakers are officially in the playoffs. LeBron doing what he usually always does. But should Lakers fans be excited? Their award for winning last night is playing a team who they haven't beat in 467 days.
Bring them boys on,
the Denver Nuggets. Listen to what the head coach Darvin Ham said after the break. You're going to love it. Family, the Lakers beat the Pelicans last night on the road to advance to the playoffs. But the luxury of advancing now means they await the Denver Nuggets. But get this, Darvin Ham, the head coach, he is not scared. Turn up your volumes and listen.
Back to 0-0. We with all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades.
I hate it. As an athlete, I love it. I love it. I love the bravado. We ain't scared. We rolling in, yo. We got, remember that Kevin Garnett speech? I got this with me. I got that with me. James, you don't play anymore.
Man. I'm with him, though.
Do y'all know what you're supposed to do when you're in a room with smoke? You're literally supposed to duck. You're supposed to get low. That's quite literally what you're supposed to do.
That's literally what you're supposed to do
in a room of smoke. Just in case y'all wondering at home what you should do in a room full of smoke, you're supposed to duck. Now,
we don't duck smoke around here.
Cool.
Don't duck smoke and get smoke. Okay? Don't duck smoke and get smoke. I don't like all this. It's great for social media. It is great. It's great for retweets. It's great, but hell yeah, man. James, tough as heck. Yeah, until you get clapped.
We got to get
Respond. The Lakers have lost to the Nuggets 8 consecutive times.
Streaks are meant to be broken.
That's it. They are.
Oh, that's
But
cool.
You don't ever bet against a streak. And, Joy, you know this because we talk about casinos often. All I'm going to say is this, and I'm done. I'm going to say this, and I'm done. Joy, you go. I'm done. The Lakers should be excited about how they're playing, not who they're playing. That's it. Be extremely excited about how they're playing, Lakers fans. Y'all are playing great. But under no circumstance, and don't let James Jones, Joy Taylor, or nobody else hype try to lie to you,
coach.
Because what they are is they the people in the back like, hey, homie, yeah, you can get them. Hey, you can
for
get
sure,
them.
For sure.
Hey, no. You heard him disrespect
get
you.
Them, but if it
you
goes can sideways, get them. Sideways, we
hey,
help
hey
out.
You can sure. get them. And then you finna get smacked because they not in the octagon
but
with
you. Don't
it's just
get
you and them hands.
Though. That's the thing. You don't always
8 straight
get smacked,
times.
Man.
Smacked. Bold. That's old smacked.
Stuff. All right, that's old stuff. All right? Because one thing I will say, too,
I
guarantee that 8-0 that y'all done did over there in Denver, I guarantee they'd rather be paying the Pelicans. They don't want to see Bron and AD coming up in there. I don't care how many times you
done. So they scared?
They better be worried,
James.
Man, just because you beat me 8 times do not mean nothing. It's a different
series.
James,
you sound ludicrous.
It is a different series.
Just because you beat me 8 times don't mean nothing.
And they know it. They've been waiting on this. Just listen to my boy, AD, because I think we got AD sound.
You got AD sound?
Listen to my boy, AD talk.
Here we at. Where we at?
Where is that, man?
It was just a lot of, like, the talking and all the Lakers, it was just so much of that going on. Like, all right, we get it, y'all won. But, you know, I think, you know, me and Bron had some conversations like, we can't wait.
We can't wait to get back at them boys. This all I would say, man. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes
I understand.
You don't know what you don't know.
I understand everything that happened. I understand the past games and all that. Ain't no, but we here now. We here right now, Acho.
Like, hold on.
And them boys, going to be ready to go. I'm excited to see this series. I wasn't excited. I'm excited now.
James,
Lakers with all the smoke, man.
I'm glad you're going.
I hear
that
what you're saying.
Because you're right. You're right.
I hear
if there's ever a time for the Lakers to play the Denver Nuggets,
come on. Talk about it, Slick.
Come on, Slick.
It's right now.
Right now.
They want the
it's
smoke.
Right now. But if the Lakers are still thinking of themselves, we want to win a championship. Mm. And at some point, they got to go through the Denver Nuggets.
On,
it's better to do it now than to do it later. Because if we're talking about wear and tear of the postseason, first of all, who's more likely to break down early or late, rather? Anthony Davis and LeBron James?
Of course.
Or all in their prime Denver Nuggets? It's the Lakers. So if they're going to get by him, this is the time to get by them. The other part is, if you look at the success of play-in teams, they have been a number of them have been successful in coming off of the heat of having to fight and scratch their way into the playoffs.
Playoff mode for a long time.
To then playing a top seed that has been sitting there for a week waiting for that cannon fodder to come through the door. And if we recollect, the Miami Heat.
Talk about it, slick.
They took game one against the Milwaukee Bucks. Uh-huh. The Lakers did it to the Grizzlies last year, game one.
Yeah, sure.
Minnesota did it to the Grizzlies the year before. If there's ever an opportunity to steal home court advantage and grab that opening game.
Don't be scared.
Here's the time.
I need, where's my single? I'm talking to the people to my left and to my right, but I'm talking to you at home. Whenever somebody has false confidence, you can always hear the fear if you listen closely. See, Slick said, don't be scared. But he also said, if y'all were listening, he said, if there was ever a time to beat him, the time is now.
What's wrong with that?
Pick a strategy. We have confidence or not, because what you're trying to do is be calculated. But we're not ducking
That's
smoke.
That's where our confidence
comes. No.
It's 0-8. I got to be calculated.
We're not ducking
smoke. I got to figure something
what
out.
What I don't want to do is don't give me strategy now. I tried to give you strategy yesterday. Don't now say, look, y'all, if there's ever a time to beat him, this is a time. No, it should be on the concrete with a double rim. It should be in mama's house. It should be in we either have unrealistic confidence or we don't. But don't start talking to me now about the best time to beat
him.
If we're ever going to beat him.
That was
now.
You were suggesting was literally ducking smoke. You were suggesting you. That you literally you. Avoid them. Like the definition of duck.
We haven't forgotten.
Like, he was trying to lose slide and get under, the AC. Like, okay. That boy, yeah.
Okay. Because that was the answer.
What is
your thing was, I'm ducking it, and I'm still going to win.
La 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 bamba, whatever it is. Limbo. Yeah.
Okay. You are literally suggesting that. That is not strategy. They are playing the Denver Nuggets because they played a great game and won and secured their spot in the postseason, which is what you're supposed to do if you are a team that anybody is supposed to be taking seriously. They do have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I want to be serious for a second. We are talking about the reigning champs.
Yes.
The real deal Denver Nuggets. Ooh-wee. They are a serious team. Nobody is underestimating what they are top to bottom. Mike Malone. Okay. No one is suggesting that. We're having a bit of fun, but we understand that the Nuggets are a very serious team. Oof. That's why we had a lot of people were having the conversation about if they should avoid them in some way. But you're here now. And what Darvin is saying is true, and he should be saying that. Mm-hmm. He should not be saying, well, good job, guys. We've got a big task ahead of us.
Right.
No, that's not what it is. And I'm sure AD and LeBron do take it personal. Now, how much taking it personal actually translates to winning games?
Right.
That part.
I don't know. We'll find out. But I'm not looking at this series as a wash in any way whatsoever. I don't think that they're going to get.
Because I can give you several reasons why. I don't know if y'all can give me several reasons why not.
What's your reasons why that you should be just saying the Warriors is a wash, the Warriors is gone?
The Lakers is gone. Well, I went back and did my homework because you all deserve our homework. Well, number one is that the Nuggets have won 8 straight games over the course of 2 years, 2023, 2024. But more importantly, I really went back because yesterday I did it too flippantly and I talked about the games. Game one, AD had 40-10. The Nuggets had a 23-point lead that was cut to a 3-point lead. The Lakers still couldn't win. Game two, LeBron, Austin Reeves, Rui all had 20-plus. Lakers still couldn't win. Game three, AD had 28-18. LeBron and Reeves both scored 20-plus, 23-plus, honestly. Lakers still couldn't win. Game four, LeBron had 30 points in the first half, finished with 40-10-9. Lakers still couldn't win. Mm-hmm. So the reason I am giving y'all the empirical data as to why the Lakers have no chance is they threw their best punch
and
didn't
draw blood.
You
don't think the Lakers will make this a series?
But no. Nobody did. Joy, remember, like, last year, the Nuggets ain't making a series. Lakers ain't making a series. Heat ain't making a series. I'm not saying anything outlandish. Nobody's made the Nuggets go a series since 2022.
Listen, the Nuggets are a great team. They are very serious.
We're not going to say the
Suns definitely made it a series.
Man. There was not a point in time that, one, the Suns were ahead, and two, that we thought the Suns would win the series. So, like, to me, if you're never leading, nor I think you're going to win, is that a series?
We're moving what the series is.
Well, what's the series to you?
It was 2-2.
If it was 2-2, that's a series. Like, that's making it a series.
100%.
Did you ever think the Suns were going to win the series?
You didn't know at 2-2.
We didn't know at 2-2. It doesn't matter what we thought. I know they lost two games, and it was 2-2.
The way Denver played in Phoenix gave you pause because they didn't play.
What happened, but regardless of it, at some point the series was tied. Correct. It wasn't when it was nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so like games were played and it was even. So I'm not going to say that nobody's ever made it a series, and I'm not trying to diminish the greatness of the Nuggets either, nor am I trying to elevate how good I think the Lakers are. But I don't think that this is going to be a sweep.
It's not.
And I think it'll be
a gentleman's sweep. Do you think it'll be a gentleman's sweep?
No, I don't.
So we think 4-2.
I think it's going to be a good series. I don't know what it's going to be.
Well, you said it's not a gentleman's sweep.
It might be 4-2 Lakers, Acho. The way I just heard Darvin Ham, I want all the smoke.
It
might be 4-2 Lakers. I don't know what's going to happen.
I do like what Darvin said. But the issue with the Nuggets, as we know, is that it's a defensive matchup issue.
Nightmare.
They have Anthony Davis, who ideally would be somebody that you would want on the court when you're going up against Jokic. Unfortunately, Jokic handles AD. So if AD is able to do something against Jokic, if everyone plays up to their level,
They did last year.
Everyone didn't play up to their level. LeBron.
And AD.
And
Reeves. And Achi Moore won game joy. All of them gave you 20-plus.
Man, we talking about
y'all
a whole
gave 20
series.
Plus.
I can't wait for it. In all honesty, I love what Darvin Ham said. I am with them. Get smoked if you don't duck the smoke. That's what's going to happen.
James, stop murmuring, bro.
You're just making noise. That's what fighters do. They don't say anything. They just start mumbling.
You give me everything, I'm going to just throw your hands at you.
Anyway, when we return, Caleb Williams is about to make his NFL, well, not debut, but he's about to be in the NFL a week from tomorrow. But can you expect him to have a C.J. Stroud type year? We make it in the playoffs. We win in a playoff game. What's he going to do? That's next on Speed. Lakers beat the Pelicans yesterday, but it is not because of a lack of effort. Zion Williamson, 40 points, and he had to exit the game early in the fourth quarter, but he could not be stopped. He was on a tear there, helping outscore the Lakers 17-6 from the 10-minute mark to the 3-minute mark in the fourth quarter. But then, family, he pulled his hamstring. Impressed, disappointed. I will be honest, I'm disappointed. And I don't mean to sound too hypercritical, but the problem in watching that game is it was a microcosm of a macro issue. Zion Williamson is incredibly and immensely talented, but just when you start to believe in him, he gets hurt. This year, he played more games than he's ever played in a season. Just when you started to believe in him, he got hurt. In the game, they're on a 17-6 run. They finally tied the score up after being down by 18 over the course of the game. Just when you started to believe in him, he got hurt. The reason I'm disappointed is because the same issue that has plagued Zion the entirety of his career, it played him in the most important moment of his career. The first time you're in that play-in game, the whole team is depending on you. B.I. is on the bench. That's how much they trusted you, and you got hurt when they needed you most. So much so that you can't play in the play-in game in 3 days from now, and thus your team will likely miss the playoffs altogether after being the 7th seed. Yeah. I can't be impressed. Though it was a phenomenal individual performance, it ended how it usually does. How are you? Impressed, disappointed?
Yeah, and that's why I feel the same. I'm sad because it's a little bit like having, you know, a relative or a loved one, and they're always messing up. And then they kind of clean up their act, and they're on the beam. But you just know, it's just a matter of time before they're going to fall off again. And so you just, like, you it's bittersweet because you kind of see a glimpse of what they can be, who they can be, and then, but you know that it's not going to last. And that's, you know, this is so much a function of how Zion is built and the kind of game that he has to play in order to score 40 and grab 11 rebounds is that he has to go 100 miles an hour. And physiques tell us that it's 270 pounds. You can't move like that for 40 minutes in a game and expect that your body is not going to break down, especially after it's broken down already all these times. So I loved seeing him go after it and show us what he's capable of. But we never doubted that. We knew what he was capable of. It's just, you know how it's going to end. So that's the disappointment, is that it ended the way I figured that it would.
Oh.
Yeah, it hurts. It's not a happy thing.
No, I mean, nobody is happy about this, and especially because when he does get rolling, it's that exciting. It's not just that he's good. He is a thrill to watch. He is unique.
He is
dynamic. He is young. He plays the game with this very special joy to him. He plays it like it's the best thing that there is.
I don't know if there's anybody we've seen quite like him.
Right. And it is so unique. It is so powerful. It is so strong. It is amazing. And then so it is so disappointing because that is also what happens when your body is that big and explosive and has that much torque. And that's the way that you play the game. You mentioned 40 minutes. Only three times this season has he played more than 37 minutes. All of those games have come in within the last 3 weeks. And if he had finished the game, he would have been just shy of 40 minutes. There is like a time limit on how you can do this if you're going to remain uninjured. He's played 185 of a possible 400 games.
History has told us.
Exactly.
It doesn't
right.
work.
Well, on the other side, James Jones, you tell me how you feel about it. Impressed, disappointed. It's the news of the day. Zion Williamson is going to be out for the next play-in game, but he left the final play-in, the first play-in game versus the Lakers. This is a huge deal. James Jones, cannot wait to hear what you have to say. Y'all go get some water. Come right back. We'll see you shortly. Zion Williamson family, he dabbled this yesterday, but once again, he left the court injured. It's really been the notion of his whole career. James Jones, were you impressed or disappointed?
Man, I was a little bit of both, to be honest with you, because I was very, very impressed because he was a problem on the basketball court. And we talk about Anthony Davis this year. He might win Defensive Player of the Year. He had zero answer for Zion, wherever Zion was on the floor. I mean, body to body, body control, like Zion, he was going to work. And you've seen, like, this dude can be a superstar in this game. Like, they had no answer for him. And then the same thing that he'd been battling with his whole career, injuries popped up again. I never was an injury-prone guy, but I know a lot of dudes that was injury-prone. And just the frustration when them dudes get injured and they, like, again, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you could be thinking you're doing all these things right to stay on the court and all that, and again, an injury comes. And you've seen that kind of frustration with Zion. He knew exactly what it was right when he took off to go make the bucket. It just sucks for the young fella, because watching that game last night, I'm like, my goodness. Like, how do you stop him if he is healthy and playing this basketball game? And that's how you stop him.
But I think you trust that he stops himself.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, because it's unfortunate for him. I think, too, at this point, it's unfortunate for the Pelicans. If he couldn't stay healthy now, when he's as fit as he's ever been, he's as healthy as he's ever been, he's played more games than he's ever played. He's played more minutes than he's ever played. It was the most important game of his professional basketball career. It is do or die. Yeah. And now he missed it, and he's going to miss the next one. Yeah. Like, if you couldn't trust him now, Slick, I don't know that you can ever, literally, this is not hyperbole, I don't know if you can ever trust him.
Yeah, no, understood, because he did all of it in a dynamic way, right? It was all attacking the rim going 100 miles an hour. And he's had enough time where he's been injured. Get me a mid-range jumper. Mm-hmm. Get me a set three-pointer. Give me something where you're able to score and affect the game, where you don't have to go to the rim and go flying past everybody. And he actually stayed healthy this year because when he had opportunity, rather than just tearing the rim down, he would finish and land softly. And so he was able to stay healthy, right? But at some point, you have to be able to expand that game so it doesn't take as much out of you.
Well, we will see if the heat is on tonight.
Heat is on.
Going down.
Sixers, play in. Let's get it. Who's going to get it done? Will the Heat make another run? Family, the Heat are on the road against the Sixers. It is going to be fireworks. Jimmy Butler against his former teammate, Santeem. Joy, how confident are you on the Heat making it out of the play-in again?
What did Dar say?
We want all the smoke. We want all the smoke.
I'm very confident, as always, in my Miami Heat. Let's go. Let's go.
I think they're in trouble tonight.
Okay.
Embiid.
James.
Maxi.
This didn't go well for y'all last time, okay? I tried to explain
this year.
Don't do it.
You know what I'm saying?
This is Jimmy Bucket's time of year. This is when he decides to play. Boy, I'm not betting. I'm not betting against him or Eric Spoelstra.
You had a good show.
Sixers should win.
Thank you.
Besides, I work with Joy Taylor.
Thank
who
you,
are you with? Who are you with?
You kidding me?
Probably the Sixers. I don't.
You never learn. Wow. You have nothing to lose here.
I'm mad at the Heat.
You have nothing to lose here. You would just be right. This is a layup.
I don't like the baby chilling until it's time to turn it all the smoke.
Roll it in. So easy.
Yeah, let's go with the Heat. Let's go with the Heat. Jamie's not here. I got no perks for going with Philly. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We'll see y'all.